Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Postmates. Oh, the best in personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever you can think of, delivery service all year round. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Postmates will bring you what you want within the hour. Anything you're craving, they can deliver. Okay? You don't want to leave the house. You want the food brought to you like a king or a queen or a dude or a girl getting ready for the prom and she wants Taco Bell pre-night, but she doesn't want to leave the house because she's got to get her dress on. I can't leave, but I want TB. Well, guess what, Karen? Taco Bell is coming to you, because if you get the Postmates app right now on your phone and you put in the promo code ALN, and you're going to get $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days. Nobody else does that. I'm telling you, Postmates is the shit. Brad and I have it. We use it all the time because we never want to leave the house and get stalked by our super fans. It's tough to leave a normal life. But with Postmates, anything's coming to you 24 hours a day. It's the best. So go right now, get the Postmates app, get on your phone, put in promo code ALN, and $100 of free delivery credit is coming your way for the first 7 days. You got to get food. Get it from Postmates. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. What a weekend in San Francisco. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Sold out pretty much all the shows. Hit some bonuses. Man, I love the Punchline Comedy Club. Molly, Martine, Marcus, Johnny, the whole staff. Simon, Johnny, you guys are truly the best in the biz. And it was a weekend I needed to go well because I was recording my comedy album, doing another album with music and crowd work and jokes. And fuck, I'm pumped, man. This is going to be a really cool piece of work to put out. And I'm very soaked in love. I was going to say stoked, but you know what? Soaked is what I meant. I'm soaked in love. Can't wait for the album to get put together. Going to start cutting it up this week and taking the best of the best from all the shows and make it something special for you guys to go get and listen and enjoy and then share and then come out and see all new stuff at the shows. Cool to ride the wave of this weekend into today's guest, the Chainsmokers, made up of Alex Paul and Andrew Taggart, these motherfuckers. An American DJ duo that have been crushing, for quite some time. Their journey and story on how they even met and came together and started, doing shows and finding their style and collaborating and working with Chris Martin and Bono loving their shit and, you know, working with Halsey. It's just, a really insanely great chat that we were lucky enough to go to their place and have here in LA. They're super funny, man. Chill dudes. It's awesome when you can meet guys that are this talented and this dope at what they do and be like, oh, you guys are good dudes and you're fun and you're funny and we could chill. Brad went to their show in Vegas. They have a residency at the Wynn in Vegas. Unfortunately, they will not be there when I'm there at the Tropicana at the Laugh Factory March 18th through the 24th. But I will be making another trip out to see them because they're the shit. You know what I'm saying? And they crushed this episode. And go watch the full thing on YouTube on the About Last Night YouTube page. We're gonna be posting some clips on Instagram and YouTube as well. Share those, like them, and hit up the Chainsmokers at the Chainsmokers on Twitter and Instagram, and let them know how much you like this episode. Because they haven't done a podcast before, a comedy podcast. So our boy Norm hooked this up, and it was well worth the wait. These guys crushed it. Go see them live, chainsmokers.com, for all their shows. And again, that residency in Vegas, baby. When do you not want to go to Vegas? You know what I'm saying? Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad at Funny Brad at ALN Podcast. Shop AdamRay.com for all your Adam Ray merch. I just added beanies and pins up there. Sold a shit ton of merch this weekend in San Fran. Hoodies, shirts, hats. Get it all at ShopAdamRay.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past, present episodes and your ALN merch. BradWilliamsComedy.com for all your Brad Williams needs. Like tour dates for Brad. Where's that motherfucker gonna be? March 7th, 8th, and 9th, Brad is in Raleigh at Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thursday through Saturday, 7th through the 9th of March. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. March 8th and 9th, this weekend, I will be at the Capital City Comedy Club in Salem, Oregon. Going to go visit my pops and do some shows in Salem. This place doesn't do a ton of stand-up, but reached out, made it work, and I'm very pumped. It's a small little black box theater. It doesn't hold too many people. Maybe 60, 75, but we're going to do three shows on Friday the 8th. And Saturday the 9th of March this week. And come out and see me. Sandy Danto's coming too. It's going to be a blast. And then the March 18th to the 24th will be in Vegas at the Laugh Factory in the Tropicana. Vegas, 18th to the 24th. That's March Madness weekend, or the first week rather. So come see me there. And then, of course, March 28th. Gotham Comedy Club, New York City. One show only. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Bunch of tour dates just added. A bunch more coming up. She-Ra Season 2 drops on Netflix April 26th. I'll be on a bunch of podcasts coming up. Ron Funches, Andrew Santino's, Adam Carolla's. Brad and I did Something's Burning for Burt Kreischer's YouTube cooking show, which is going to be epically viral. Can't wait for that to come out. Man, come out and see the shows, baby, and keep subscribing and supporting the podcast. Comment on the iTunes page, rate it 5 stars, share the pod, man. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Tell us how you got into it, where you got it, who told you about it, why you love it, your favorite eps. And as soon as we get into these next few episodes, we will be reading some new fan mails and sending out some merch. Craig Ferguson's coming up, Brian Friedman, Ron Funches, Henry Winkler just got locked in, so make sure you subscribe. iTunes, wherever you get it, Apple Pods. And now they've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the Chainsmokers.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Dinner or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Because, you know, when we do weekends on the road, it's like we get some of the worst morning radio people. And it's like, I forget that even in your world, you get them in just like, you know, the people, they're like, so like... Okay, so yeah. Music. How do you, like...
You're already doing this right.
Do you own a piano, or do you just go to someone's house, or do you just use a clarinet and go, I'll transpose it to piano later?
All right, that would be like a high-class question.
Seriously,
for that.
Before you guys answer, we got to go to weather, traffic, weather. Hold on, we got to do a break. Coming in, number 5 on the countdown, we'll be right back with the Chainsmokers, but before we get back to them, we got Taylor Swift at number 5. She drops 5 spots. You guys can stick around for 4 more breaks? All right, cool.
That's so true.
Brad always loves to brag.
I'm getting like chills right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, like it's a different world, but it's the same world where we got to do those interviews as well. And you get the guys that are like, so what can we expect from your comedy show tonight? Yeah. You're like,
Some jokes.
Give us a little jokes. Yeah. Hoping that's gonna happen. But before we really get going, I just have to say that, well, first of all, rock stars are always on the cusp of what's breaking, what's new. Dude, you have jeans that have plaid. What is this? Like,
dude, I thought it was cool with my Lululemon pants, yeah. But you have $1 me, yeah. Price is Right style.
Yeah. Is this something that's coming down the pipe? Is this something that we
better
all
get
have
ready?
To,
I don't know. If it's a trend, I think I'm going to start it.
Yeah, those are dope.
I don't know who else is going
to
be wearing
them. Did Chris D'Elia tell you to wear those?
No, I think of him every morning when I get dressed.
Yeah, we all do.
What would Chris wear?
Yeah. I know. Does that ever enter your head, like, wow, if I do an Instagram video of me doing some weird thing or even wearing something having to do with fashion, you're like, wow, our fans will probably just be like, oh, that's what we're doing now?
Yeah.
We're doing the beach ball in your butt challenge? Okay, cool.
Yeah. I hope they don't follow us blindly into the dark, but I don't know. So we have this guy, we have this like kid, Ben, who we've been shouting out a lot recently, who he's like one of those shoe sneaker seller kids.
Okay.
And he told me, he came over to my house the other day, he's like, hey, do you have those like the pair of like old like off-white Air Maxes that like you destroyed. Mm-hmm. Totally destroyed these shoes. He has these clients that are these, I don't know, they're like up and coming DJs, I guess.
Okay.
And they keep buying all my old used shit. That's like destroyed. They just want my shit.
Wow.
And okay. I gave him these like four pairs of shoes to sell, and he sold all four pairs. I've never worn any of them to like these kids for like $1,000.
Do you get a cut?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he gets credit, and then I get other sneakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Does it stop at sneakers, or is there other
favors being exchanged? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, just things that he's like willing to buy.
I don't know. I just found out about these kids. I've tested dang them with the shoes. Yeah, yeah, now we're sure gonna try some more obscure objects. And yeah, see what yeah, they yeah go
old
for
dental floss.
Yeah, right. Get a pretty price for that.
Dunkaroos you didn't finish.
Yeah,
yeah. Ooh.
Dunkaroos. Wow, what a throwback.
Oh, dude, that's
where did that come
well
from?
Get ready, my yeah brain, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready for a lot of throwbacks on this podcast. Yeah.
If you guys ever want to get high and just have your childhood snack show up, just give me
yeah
a, shoot me
I
a
mean,
text.
We got Gushers. We oh got we got Teddy Grahams.
Slow down though, because yeah none of these are sponsors.
Yeah. We would yeah like them to love be. Yeah. Maybe you guys can tell them to sponsor us, right? And then
do you guys have a road snack or a pre-show ritual or
tequila
drink?
Tequila is a lot pretty popular one.
I knew we were
yeah
connected.
Yeah, tequila's tight.
It's pretty popular. Tequila's tight. Good, yeah. Yeah. A specific brand.
No, we can't. No, we're not shouting anyone out.
Yeah,
we're trying to shout out tequila.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. Are you gonna get your own going?
Yeah, it's a game plan.
You definitely should get your yeah own going.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Out of all the things that we should be a part of, you know, hey, what I mean? Like tequila. For
Diddy
sure
has Ciroc.
Yeah,
you know, you guys could have your tequila.
Right. It would be great.
I mean, and yeah, maybe a few years ago you may have laughed at that and mm-hmm be like, oh, we'll never have tequila, but fuck, you guys have a production company now.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, we went down to Tequila Town where they make all the tequila.
Where's that?
It's in Guadalajara.
Mexico, yeah. Is yeah that fuck? I thought it was like near Toontown in Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like next to Guy Fieri's Flavor Town. It's yeah, like, yeah, okay, so yeah, Flavor Town, Tequila Town. Yeah. I really need to live here.
I just saw a great Guy Fieri meeting where it was like, just when you're sad, just remember that the Earth's been around for like 4,536,000,000 years, and you lived during Guy Fieri's
existence.
Yeah, existence.
Prime time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that is exciting.
I mean,
our kids won't get to do that.
Yeah. No. I do have one Guy Fieri story.
Please.
I met him,
please
share.
I met him backstage at a Kid Rock concert, which is just all
this sounds exactly where you'd meet guys.
Yeah, yeah, it's like no, it's like, oh no, we were in the Louvre in Paris, and he was examining some of the paintings and giving a full art history background. No, it was at a Kid Rock concert, and he handed me a barbecue sandwich from catering and said, "That's good barbecue."
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
From
right
catering?
Yeah, from catering.
Catering.
You sure it wasn't from like his back pocket or something like that?
He just has it on him at all times.
He changed the story so that he pulled it out of his pocket.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll cut this and be like, yes. And then he pulled out a pulled pork sandwich from his sock and said, "That's good barbecue. Welcome to Flavortown." And I'm like, wow. Thank you for doing that. Now, like, so people would have a dream of when they meet Guy Fieri, they get to eat barbecue with him. Is there something that
what's the equivalent?
Yeah. Is there something that people constantly ask you guys to do? Like, oh, I want to do this with the chain smokers?
Do it with us?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess drinking is a big one.
it's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we used to, when we were like coming up, we would play a lot of colleges and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Like sometimes for frats and sometimes for like more official things for the universities. And I feel like we kind of like had a reputation for like showing up unannounced to like frat parties. And
in a cool way, yeah?
Yeah, in a cool way.
So it was like, oh shit, they might show up tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And then just like throw down DJs more. Yeah. Like,
so you guys were like the Bill Murray of DJs.
That's what I thought I wanted.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
They might show up. Yeah. Like you never know.
And we've ran into like a couple of people that have been at these frat parties. I mean, like, dude, like, you showed up at, like, Vanderbilt, like, frat party, you know, like, 7 years ago.
That's
it was so,
so
sick.
Dope.
And I, like, remember flashback to, like, because it's fun when you get there. You're like, this is going to be sick. But inevitably, you're, like, hit that moment where you're, like, ripping a bong with, like, you know, an 18-year-old yes in his room. And he's got, like, you know, his throwback, like, Seattle Supersonics jersey on. Yes. That's what all college kids wear.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, and you're,
the
like,
accuracy
talking about something that's so retarded. And you're just, like, where are my friends? Why am I, you know, you're like, why am I
how did
here?
I get in here?
You know,
oh, yeah, this guy had a bong.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
how were those frat parties? Because I was in a frat in college.
Yeah.
And when bands were there, it was the shit. And DJs, like, it was any sort of like thing that was not just somebody playing music from their
It was really, I mean, they were really fun. They'd always be like super welcoming. And I went to NYU, so I didn't really have any of that like lifestyle of frat parties.
A lot of house parties and stuff.
And house parties that. He went to Syracuse, so they had that there. So he would just like, he reverts back to his old self.
And Syracuse, my frat city.
Frat
we've done some stand up there at the college. It's bonkers.
Yeah,
dude.
It's a fun place.
I mean, when all you have is a giant mall dinosaur barbecue. Yeah. And
that's it.
That's it. Yeah. You have a giant mall and dinosaur barbecue.
Check, done.
So you got that. Yeah. Now it's time to drink.
Yeah. But it was they're always really fun. I mean, it was like the surprise. To me, it's like those are the cool things that I would have loved if like I had big, you know, was a fan of like a big artist or sports guy or something and show up and do that.
What type of like how different are you guys now from those days? And how often do you think back to those times, like when you're sitting in your dope pad now?
I mean, not much different, to be honest with you. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean,
if
I guess
he could have had plaid on his jeans, then he would have.
Well, I feel like
you think that's gonna be the commercial, by the way. Just silence and you going like that.
I feel like the problem is that you get older, like you're the people on your team, they make you more. They're like, yeah, so like your lawyer calls you, he's like, I heard you went to a frat last night. You know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, it was sick. And he's like, you'd be very liable if something bad happened there. You know what I mean? And you're like, wait, what? And they're like, shouldn't do that anymore. And then you're like, damn it. You know what I mean?
The other
like,
problem we had is, we, you know, you get the reputation for like being like around and stuff, and then people start impersonating you. And then you get people coming up to you being like, yo, like I met you at like in Sarasota. I'm like, I've never been to Sarasota.
Oh, shit.
Like, I know we were here. We're taking shots. You hooked up with my friend's girlfriend. And like, you're like, that wasn't me.
Whoa.
So not even just like fake Instagram accounts, but fake
people.
And, dude, that's insane.
And then we got this. I like, you know, when you start to like do your thing, eventually you like become a meme.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the meme that we've become, I actually really enjoy.
Oh, that's good.
And the basis of it is that the chain smokers could be any two random white dudes.
Yeah.
Which kind of plays into
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Like the first one, I think, like, fuck Jerry, someone posted, it's a meme that says, damn, the chain smokers have really like let themselves go, and it's a picture of Jonah Hill and Michael Cera like walking on the street in New York. And
well done,
that's amazing.
I mean, but you almost kind of want that because it says you're popular, but B, if
they're not all nice and funny.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, of course.
I mean, do you like? Are you the kind of person that like reads your YouTube comments and goes, man? Eiffel 65-42 says Blue Dabba D's the greatest song. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah. Like
I feel like, well, YouTube's just super dark place. Like, I mean, not that like the people use it are bad, but like it's, if you're commenting on YouTube videos, like,
who you be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who you be?
Like, usually I think those things. Like, if I see a bad music video or something, I'm like, this video sucks. But I don't actually go and write underneath.
That's so
exhausting.
I need
to tell the world.
Yeah.
Underneath. Like,
my thoughts need to be heard.
Yeah. And so, but like, I did this thing. I haven't done it in a while now because now I've realized like an important thing, which is like, you should give it, you have a lot of fans, so like why would you spend time like shouting out your haters?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that stuck with
positive.
Me. But like it wasn't always that way. And I used to like, if someone commented something negative, I would like look into who they were, and then I would go to their girlfriend's page and comment on their most recent photo and be like, damn, you look good here. And so she would go home, and then the boyfriend, she'd be like, Chainsmokers like said I look really good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the boyfriend would be like, I hate those guys, you know what I mean? And she would always be like,
you must have read my comment.
You're not around for that, but you just know
you just
it's
know,
happening
oh,
in
yeah,
some
yeah,
way
yeah,
shape
yeah.
or
he'd be like, those guys suck, and she'd be like, they seem pretty sweet to me.
And I don't know, they seem like great guys.
Awesome. And
but I love that you said that like now you're focusing on like the positive aspect of your fans, and you really are. Please tell me if this is true, because I read this and I want this to be true.
So do we.
You took a fan on tour with you because they made a piano cover of the song Paris, and you're like, person's
we took
awesome.
A fan, a piano player, and a drummer, and a drummer is actually now basically a full-time member of the band.
No way.
Yeah.
So like you made the Mark Wahlberg film Rockstar come to life for these people.
Yeah,
they're like,
That's true. That was an interesting movie too.
So
if I submit a video of me with the recorder, there's a chance.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good meme too. It's like, what were they preparing us for in middle school?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start playing the recorder.
I'm gonna start playing some mean spoons and just hope.
But that was that was crazy. So you're talking about Tony Ann, who's like this savant piano player, and he used to do these covers of every song we released. And naturally, like someone sent it to us and was like, "You got to look at this kid." You know, just to reshare it, basically.
Yeah.
And which we did. And then we started to work towards, we were DJs, and then as our music changed and we wanted to challenge ourselves more and he started singing, we kind of were like, let's try, let's become a bit like a proper band, you know, and, yeah, and perform our music properly. And, you know, at the beginning, we didn't really know how the best way to do that. So yeah, we're like, well, we probably need a really good piano player. You know what I mean? So, and this guy
looks good.
This guy looks good. You know what I mean? So we messaged him and we're like, hey, I don't know what your life is like, but how would you like to
would you like to be a fucking rock star?
Dude. Yeah. And
what did he say? What did he say his life was like?
He was like, I'm not doing much.
He goes, he was going to Berklee College of Music. Yeah. And he was like,
oh, she's dope.
Like, yeah, right. And he's amazing. He's a classical pianist. And he was like, but honestly, like, I'm done here. I don't think there's any more they can teach me.
I was like, okay.
Wow.
What can you teach me?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a great response. Yeah. And then like what, days later he's
here? And then,
here?
You know, like we were planning our thing, so it was a couple of months in advance. Yeah, yeah. But basically it was like moved to LA. First time we met was like in the practice room, mm-hmm, like preparing for the tour. And it was just like, okay, cool. And like our drummer Matt was the same way. He was from Australia. He's had like more of a like live touring background, right, but still like wasn't a part of a band or anything. Mm-hmm. And
thank goodness for him.
Yeah, insanely talented. And we're just like, how would you like to come out and, you know, play drums for us? And he was getting like, I think a lot of like people were feeling, because he was starting to like, but you know, like those YouTube covers and stuff. Like, yeah. He was really good. Yeah. And now he's just like full on. Tony, not that we still love Tony, he's not part of the band anymore because it like the position wasn't as necessary.
Well, and there's nothing more you can teach him.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
so he's graduating from us. Yeah,
he honestly looked like a caged like a tiger playing piano on tour with us, because like he's so good that he should just be like solo piano playing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was like a guy was like, just play, you know, like this basic melody that we create, and he's just like, you know, like,
fine, yeah, I can look, do it.
Yeah.
My eyes closed, I can figure this out.
Yeah. When did you guys, obviously you've told the story of when you like formed many times, but like what were you, when you were playing like the colleges, like what other types of gigs were you doing like that you're trying to you know, just get clout and get, mm-hmm, experience? Like, I don't know grind is like.
I mean, we DJed a lot of clubs in New York City where we originally started. Gotcha. Like, you know, like,
so not that's your true roots, like where you started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, you know, these are like bottle clubs, so they're not really there to see you. You know what I mean? It's the sort of thing where like you're playing music and the guy comes up and he's like, pick it up. Pick up the energy. You know what I mean? Or like,
wow,
like Jay-Z's going to be here. Like, go more classic Jay-Z. And you're like, what were we talking? Like Reasonable Doubt or like Volume 2? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's like, no, not that far back. Like,
yeah. Well, and then you played Jay-Z and then he comes up and he's like, you fucking idiot, Tiesto just walked in. Yeah. Play trance. Why aren't you playing trance?
So that was like the first couple of years.
Were there moments like that when celebrities would walk in and they would, and you'd be like, oh crap, there's Jay-Z? Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Presley's here. But play together forever now.
Yeah. But it wasn't actually like fun. You know what I mean? Because it was like, you weren't like an artist at all or a performer.
No, you had no creative input.
You were essentially like the iPad that, like, you know what I mean? That, like, everyone else got to, you know.
So how do you find to get your voice?
When we started, you know, like, it took a little while to find our sound and figure out what our direction was going to be. But I remember, like, we started remixing indie bands and, you know, people like Phoenix and Two Door Cinema Club, mm-hmm, and Daughter. And slowly but surely, like, they started gaining a little traction on the internet. But it still wasn't like we were going to go to our show and play these songs, because we're like, nobody's here for us. And then it like finally, like one day we played a show and people, we didn't play any of our music. And someone was like, what the hell? Like, I came here to see you guys play, you know, your Dreaming remix or this. You guys didn't play anything of your own. And we're like, whoa, people are actually here to see our music now.
Yeah.
And that was like a very scary moment, because it was like, I guess the next time we should do this, but like, what if there's no one there at the next one? And this was just like an anomaly of a person.
Hey, but you know what? It's that sort of self-awareness where you want to give people what they want, but at the same time do what you essentially got paid to do.
Sure.
Where it probably really helped you, because I imagine there might be someone that would come and be like, I'm playing all original hits.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, and then everyone's in the crowd like, yeah, we really want to hear the new Lil Jon song.
100%. I feel like it gave us a good backbone, because like the show for us originally, since this is the way it started, was always just about creating the best party and atmosphere possible wherever we were playing. And then as the music started coming, it was like, okay, keep that vibe, but like, how do we insert our music in here and keep that energy and feeling up? And that's kind of been the red line even now to today's show, where it's like, we're going to be playing 90% of our music, but the way we perform it, the edits, the remixes, the style, it's very like upbeat. It's not like you're gonna come to our show and suddenly see like me and Drew at like a classical piano and him in like a tux. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like slowing it down.
Why can't I wear a tux?
That's not your vibe. Yeah, yeah. You can wear a tux.
Yeah, hey, yeah.
This is where you find out you can't
wear
a tux.
We'll put some flannel on the tux. And
trying to innovate here, people.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that you guys think about that because and that you have expanded to, like you said, you have a drummer. You've had pianists. I've seen you guys on your Instagram playing guitar to wear because I've been to certain concerts where the hack joke of the DJ behind the thing just hitting the button. That's what the audience sees, and that's not what they want to see.
In my defense, that was my first bar mitzvah, and it was my bar mitzvah, and they told me I could play the music.
Did you have to play La Vida Loca 5 times in a row? Though?
Yes. My mom loves Ricky Martin.
Yeah. You know what's fun? It's like the whole like roots of where we came from. DJing has been really helpful, especially in Vegas.
Yeah.
We do 50.
You got a residency
shows.
There.
We do 50
at the Win, right?
At the Win at XS.
It's insane.
And it's so fun, but that's like we have this live show that's very elaborate and expensive and fun and rewarding that's barely based on our music, but every week we go to Vegas and we play for 2 hours and we play all of our music, but we play so many fun like edits and like you know, La Vida Loca and
it pops
number
in.
5 and dropping it. It's fun, you know?
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a fun time. We're lucky to have that.
How long does that show take to... So when you got that was what, a few years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, 2 years ago at XS and we played with Hawk Sengrit before that. So that's we've been so in Vegas dope. For probably 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Is it cool?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's
really, the Win is, to me, I mean, like, I don't know. It doesn't get better than that. Like, I went to that hotel when it opened and it's like...
It's like a little jewel.
It smells the best, dude. Yeah. Like everything about it is just right. You know,
The colors, the like,
yeah.
There's like the like, oh, even the patrons. Like we used to. I mean, I don't want to shout anyone, but the other casino we used to play at, just in case we ever go back there, when no one cares about us. like you know, like the club itself was really fun, but like going through the casino was like a dark place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
did you ever go to that Sinatra restaurant?
Yeah, Sinatra's was great.
Come on, so good.
Yeah. We eat there so much that it's like, you know, like I can tell you the menu from any of these places.
That's amazing. I had a dream. I kid you not, I just remember this. I had a dream last night where someone told me about this really nice restaurant that they had just been to at the Wynn and that we hadn't gone to.
Oof.
Like, that's how badly I want
there
to be another restaurant there.
Yeah.
I had a dream where, like, some other, like, sophisticated couple came in, like, oh, we just ate here. I was like, where's that? At the Wynn.
Yeah, like, what?
There's tell me more. Where we haven't been.
Yeah.
You hear that? Wynn.
So anyway.
Robert, is it Robert Wynn, right? Is that the
Steve Wynn.
Steve Wynn.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounded like it should be Robert.
Jeffrey Wynn.
But Chris, I mean, Chris D'Elia came out to
our
shows
that.
And he did a podcast or part of it about like his experience with us.
Which was incredible.
Which is cool to hear from like the, you know, second hand.
Fuck yeah. Also, like, and take that as a big compliment. Chris does not go anywhere.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Like, I tried to get him to go to the zoo once because he used to do all these bits about animals. And I was like, don't you want to go see the animals you talk about?
I
have no interest in going outside. So that's a big deal that he went there. But the show looked, I mean, his videos were, they were bonkers. So like how long is the process to put that show together with the edits and the pyrotechnics and everything that's happening?
It's kind of like a rolling thing because it's like you start with like, you know, you don't really lose music, but you kind of figure out what works a little bit more. And then obviously new music comes out and it's like, I mean, DJs NJ, they're like, we are like a big community of guys. So it's like, here, I made this, you know what I mean? And then you like, it's almost like you trade. You're like, oh, I'll send you this one. And then, you know, you hear other people doing it and you're like, oh, I can make that, but I can do it better. And we always add new music. I think what makes our show unique, obviously, is that we play a lot of our own music and perform it live. So you get like the live entertainer feel. Cause like, I know what you're saying about DJs. Like people will be like, tell me about DJing. Like, what are you really doing up there? And I'm like, you know, I'm like it's some secret. I'm like, you know what I'm doing. Like, I'm pressing the button. You know what I mean? Like,
to be fair, I saw the video of you guys playing the launch pad on your Instagram.
Oh,
you're hitting a lot of fucking buttons.
Yeah. Saw that. Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's not just.
Yeah, that's insane.
You don't just hit play.
No, I mean, at our live show, I mean, I'm playing, you know, 5 or 6 instruments. Drew's playing guitar and singing live.
Oh my God.
Like, but like in Vegas, it's like, we are hitting play and
but we DJ it. Real quick and like it's it can get intense up there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What is it like up there? Like what is it, what's the experience like of that versus like an award show or a red carpet or something like that?
Those are terrible.
Yeah. Right, bad example. What's it like being in line at Whole Foods versus being on stage? No, but you see like the crowd is going nuts and you're keeping up that energy the whole time, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the pressure of Vegas is like everyone's there to party and have a good time. And some people are your diehard fans and some people like have heard one song on the radio once, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, don't really know, and they're just there because that's a cool place to go.
Yeah.
And
which is cool, right? Then you're picking up new fans that way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's a huge opportunity for us, and it's fun, and it's a challenge, you know? And that's what's nice about it. It's like, okay, how are we going to work this room? So like people that like don't, maybe they don't even fuck with us, they come through and they're like, okay, I can't lie, that was a good time.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you like embrace, you know, 50 shows a year in the same club.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like your home, you're walking in there. So how many shows like during, we go for like weeks at a time?
Well, every weekend, basically.
Every weekend.
And then two times a weekend in the summer.
Fuck.
Yeah,
summer's bonkers.
The crazy part is like going to do Europe and like playing a show in like Hungary or something, and then being like, we got to be back for Anchor Beach Club the next day. And then like a day later, flying back to Europe.
Yeah.
That's like, that's.
I saw the Steve Aoki documentary.
Oh yeah, he does it crazy. Yeah.
I was about to ask you, like, is that kind of your schedule too, where you're constantly like, all right, so Monday we're in Denmark, Thursday we're in Italy, but then we got to get back to Vegas for the weekend.
That's literally the summer. There was weeks this summer where we did either three shows in Europe.
Yeah.
Or on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And then flew back to Vegas for the weekend for 6 weeks in a row.
Holy shit.
So it was like either across the country or to Europe every week.
But you're always happy because European food at airports sucks. So you're always looking forward to getting back to the US.
Are there ever times where you just want to call up Steve Wynn and be like, not this weekend?
Yeah. Well, half the time you're just like worried that you won't even, because like you're counting, there's so many factors you have to rely on.
Sure.
People doing their job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's got to do their job to get us back here with like 2 hours to spare.
Fuck.
You know, and that like part, like you look at our tour manager and he's like, kind of low-key freaking out the whole time.
Yeah.
He looks 60, but he's 35.
I guess he's sitting on the plane, like, and you see him sweating. Like,
until take off, it's just like, you know. But it's, I mean, you know, it's like, this is, I feel like if anything, you know, you got to seize the moment right now. And
sure.
You don't want to leave anything on the table. And, you know, it's just, I feel like we've made those decisions where you're like, yeah, I'm just going to like chill out this Sunday. Let's not do that. And then you're like, end up just doing nothing. You know what I mean? And you're just like, I might as well have just done it. You know what I mean? And
like, what am I doing right now that's so awesome?
Exactly. How do you guys take it easy? Like when you do get a little bit of downtime?
Oof.
Or are you just in work mode and you're, like for us, it's like, you know, you get conditioned after a while to always be, you know, writing and just be thinking in work mode and joke mode. So it's like, you know, but even in your downtime, you like something will happen. You're like, all right, fuck, I'm going to sit down and write for a little bit now because, you know, I've got the time and I feel like there's no distractions to do that. But do you vacay or do you go to?
I mean, they're like obviously things that we love. Like, I mean, we both love to surf. We love to
Like,
go to ski mountains, you know, and like, like that sort of thing. But like,
you're not afraid of sharks when you surf?
Oh, I totally am.
I'm totally afraid of sharks.
That is just like, I feel like this year or 2018 in particular, like every 2 months I'd see a shark attack clip or a guy almost getting attacked. Or Kelly, wasn't that video of Kelly Slater?
It was a surfer at the World Cup in Huntington Beach where like the shark came up, like actually you see the fin go up behind him.
I've seen this.
Yeah. The guy gets out and he's just like, close call, but I'll be back next week. Fucking what? That'd be a wrap on the day for me. Like when that guy ate that guy's face on bath salts in Florida, I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to Florida again.
Yeah, just roll that
there's
out.
Plenty of places where people don't eat people.
I feel like we always have the luck too. Like, I mean, we're going to the X Games this weekend to play.
Oh, shit. So the X Games, that'll be like half fun and half
that'll be work, just all right? fun. All
oh,
fun.
Not, oh, you're just going for...
No, we're playing music, but it's like... That's like the, you know, means to the end.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are you into action sports? Or are you going to go not partake in the events, but like watch the events?
Yeah. I mean, those guys are amazing and they live such cool lives, you know, like they're all homies. They're like young dudes and they're like early 20s, if that. And they're just like, get to fucking go to these mountains, you know, every weekend and compete with each other.
It's so nuts where like they will look at you guys and be like, that's the cool life. And then you'll look at them and be like, that's the cool life. And then like people look at comics and go, oh, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Like we're all obviously very thankful and very blessed we get to do what we do. But then at the same time, we're looking around like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain's life seemed pretty good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
true.
You got to eat and travel. And
I definitely feel like
good.
I should have taken more time to get good at the toboggan because then I could. The X Games doesn't have a toboggan competition, but it's like they're always open. Was that?
That could have been your thing.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. we can do the 2-man toboggan. I got a heavy head. Yeah. You know, throw that
they could
first.
Just put
it
you
goes
in,
down.
Or just put you in a tube or one of those like egg chairs, like just like or the bubble boy things, and just put you down the hill.
I'm all for that. Just like it's like the giant hamster wheel.
Yeah, no, there should be a Dwarf X Games now that we're talking about
There really should be a Dwarf X Games.
Is there not?
Guys, you feel like sponsoring this?
I mean, it wouldn't be a half pipe.
Is there not?
Yeah.
What a great attitude.
Yeah, what a great attitude.
Wouldn't be a half pipe, it'd be a quarter pipe, but whatever. Yeah. Like, it's fine. It would still look just as impressive. He's flying up, doing my thing.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Quick break to tell you about Postmates. Oh, Postmates, baby. We all need to eat. We all love food. But we don't want to leave the house. You know what I'm saying? And if you do get someplace to deliver, it's never the stuff that you want. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever you can think of delivery service all year round. They do it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. They'll bring you what you want within the hour. And if you go right now and get the Postmates app and use promo code ALN, you'll get $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Let me say that again. $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days if you get the Postmates app right now and use promo code ALN. You can get spaghetti and meatballs. You can get a Morton steak. You could get cookies. You know, stop wishing that Brad shows up to your house to bring you the special dwarf cookies that he makes in his treehouse. Go to Postmates, get the app, put in promo code ALN, and get $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the known universe with more than 25,000 partner merchants. All right? So go get the Postmates app, put in promo code ALN, and again, $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days is coming your way. And now back to the episode.
You talked about how you love seeing like the hardcore dedicated fans, and obviously you've put in some of them in your band. But are there any other, because I've seen like Rockstar fans are just legendarily so dedicated and they're willing to go to any lengths. Like, do you guys have like those crazy fan stories where like someone faked that they were in your crew and like showed up outside your hotel room?
Yeah, or
like,
do you see that Peking Duck story where the guy changed their Wikipedia to include him in it? So when he went backstage, he was like, look, I'm in their page. Like, you got, I don't have a pass, but like, that's me.
I'm in the Wikipedia.
Your credentials is Wikipedia?
Yeah. And they let him in.
That can't be good.
They let him in.
Yeah. And then they like wrote about it. He like did like a post about it the day after. And then like the band was like, applauded him because they were like, they're like this crazy Australian band. So they were like, cool with it. But I was like, that's sick. You know what I mean? We don't have like, I mean, we have a story we always lie about and make up when people ask that question.
Of course.
And, okay. And we've told it for like 1,000 times.
Then don't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's No. But I don't like, you know, like, I'm sure you guys have the same thing. It's like the question when it's like, yo, what was like, you know, your best joke you ever told or something.
Yeah, the
and
worst
like,
heckler or something.
Yeah, and yeah. You're like immediately like go blank and you can't think of like any examples of that. Like we have a guy in New York. Mm-hmm. He's not like a bad person, but like he just knows where we are all the time. You know what I mean? And it doesn't, and what's annoying is that he'll take the photo right like in front of like our hotel.
Yo,
and then
Craig's,
we'll go to
Craig's
like
literally right there.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Yeah. And then he'll show up at like the next place and be like, can I get a photo? And you're like,
we just
took a photo with you, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
No, like literally hotel to like a radio station to do promo. He's outside the hotel and then somehow gets to the radio station before us and then asks for another photo.
And he like guilt you. He's like, Alex, 15 minutes ago. He's like, can I take the photo? And you're just like, like, you know, like a puppy dog eyes. Like, can I get one? And you're just
and
like,
it's so quick and easy, but you're like, there's got to be rules.
And of course, we'll take it. But like, come on, we just took the photo. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. I'm wearing the exact same thing. Like,
maybe he's got
changed.
Some long going bet. Yeah. Where he's like, somebody at some point, like at some Cheesecake Factory date, was like, I bet you can't get the chain smokers to take pictures with you at every stop that you see them. He's like, you're on.
And they always, and he asks for a hug too every time.
That's,
he's like, and then can I get a hug? Like,
sweet. Get the pic.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Hugs are very particular.
He's gonna listen to this. I know he will.
He drove.
I know you're out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he drove here. He drove us.
Yeah.
In fact, he knew that we were gonna
nice
be the
guy.
Ones interviewing.
Hugged
you.
Us the whole time.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
Dangerous. How do you pick people to collaborate with? Because I mean, obviously, so many great tunes that have great people featured with you guys. Like, how is there? Is it the same thing with the way you found some members of the band where you're looking online, or do people bring them to you and say, hey, you should check out this person? That like, how, like Halsey, like how'd that come about?
I mean, it's always different. Like, yeah. Sometimes it is as simple as like seeing someone like Kelsey Ballerini has been saying she was like a fan of ours for a while.
Dope.
And we were a fan of hers. And then when we came up, wrote this song and we were like, why don't we hit up Kelsey? She wants to do it with us.
Right.
Halsey, you know, also we've been huge fans of hers, and I think both of us were kind of like percolating under the radar, and she's, you know, an amazing singer, and we both felt like the song really lent itself to her style of, you know, just artistry, I guess.
Yeah.
And so she did, you know, like we sent her the song, she was down and came in and sung it, and, you know, became a huge, huge hit, which is great because she was like the perfect.
Yeah, I mean, everything came together for that, right?
Chris Martin's like a completely different one. Like our managers have been talking, like literally a prayer, you know what I mean? Being hey, would that ever, you know, boy, would they ever want to get together? And it's like, sure, we're pretty busy. You know what I mean? Like that
being Coldplay and stuff.
Coldplay. And you're like, of course. Just if anything ever changes.
We're here.
Yeah. And then I guess like, you know, a month later, Chris, like so I maybe like the manager had mentioned this and he was like, I love those guys. I love their song.
Whoa.
We play their music, you know, before we go on stage.
Whoa.
Let's get together. And like we dropped like everything we had going on
to make
that happen. And it was totally worth it.
Do you ever have more nerves like going into like where you're pitching Halsey versus Chris Martin? Like were you hoping if she sent back like, nah, I'm not into it, were you like, did you have more nerves going into that versus?
Well, what's crazy is every song has a completely different story about how it came about, and that song was actually something just like this was written with Chris the first day we met. So you don't know what to expect, so you just got to pull up and be like, okay, I'm gonna come with some ideas, but also be ready to write and also be ready to like play instruments or be able to like just produce or do drums. You have no idea like what you're gonna get. And that day, I remember we got there and we was in this beautiful studio in Malibu, which we were working on like a closet studio at the time.
Yeah, you tell me that. Yeah.
And we were just blown away, and it was very over the top for us. And
intimidating? And, does it make you raise your game, or is it more pressure filled because you see the surroundings?
I mean, we're very intimidated, not gonna lie. I mean, Coldplay musically, their sound has been such an inspiration to our sound, and just the chords and melodies that they use. And you know, Chris Martin is Chris Martin, and I remember he walked in, and we were just, you know, he's talking in his very nice soft British voice.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
you know, and you're like, oh my god,
you're so beautiful. You're just like trying to keep it together.
Yeah, and actually, talked for a very short amount of time, like 5-10 minutes, and then he was like, so let's go. And I remember we opened up our laptop and we're playing him ideas, playing stuff on the piano. We eventually got on this one idea that was it was good, and he was into it, and so he's like, all right, let me sit and write. And so he sat and for about an hour with the headphones on and just like on his phone writing. And he was like, you know, I've kind of hit a roadblock. I'm gonna go like pick up my kids, and you know, you guys keep working on the track, I'll be back. We're like, all right. So he left.
What if he never came back?
That's
go through your head.
Of course.
You're like, this is like a chick on a date being like, my friend just called, she's in the hospital.
Yeah, we gotta go. This reminds me, we have a funny story about someone getting out of a session after.
Yes, put a pin in there.
Put in the queue. And he
so yes, now you're sitting there like, all right,
what
we,
do we
we'll
do?
Pick up where
we have dinner. He comes back 2 hours later. We're like, hey, and it's kind of the vibe was like gone, and we were like, okay, like it's all good, like we got something with him, you know, this will be cool. And then he was like, we were waiting to leave and we were in Malibu, so it took a while to get an Uber, and he was like, you want to play me some records off the new Chainsmokers album, which was, this was before our album's Memories Do Not Open came out. And I played him The One, Paris, and I think Bloodstream, and he you could see he was like, like we gotta get a record. And he goes, is there anything else that you have that might work? And I played this session that was like eventually became something just like this, and he was like, that's it, let's go. Canceled the Uber, plugged in. I've never seen a song written like this. Plugged his mic into the PA and danced around like the living room. It's like, you know, 11 at night at this point. Just like muttering the melody to himself, and eventually had words, and he wrote literally the entire thing just dancing around in 2 hours. And
that's
then
crazy.
We got back and we got in the car after that, and we were like, let's fucking go.
Oh my god, dude,
go. It was like, because like the first thing you're like, it's, if something doesn't happen in one instance, it's really hard to finish it at a later date or get someone to get
it. Usually
back
doesn't, right?
It.
Usually gotta come
back.
Usually
it
artificially
so.
Create those moments.
Unless you have Chris Martin dancing around in circles coming up with melodies,
that,
then I guess.
I mean, most people I write songs with just sit there and write, and he mumbled, or they go in the booth. There's a lot of hip hop guys that go in the booth and they'll do one line, and then they'll do the next line, and then the next, but we track it all. He sat there and just mumbled it to himself until he had the whole thing.
And then it's also in those moments where you see him and you're like, oh yeah, that's why you're Coldplay.
Yeah,
that, 100%. That's why you're successful and doing all the things that you're doing. I know you just did a collaboration with Blink-182.
Oh, they just came over here. We're in the studio. We wrote a couple of songs together.
Is that do you call them? Do they call you?
That we've been trying to get in the studio with them for a while because they were they're a huge inspiration of ours. Probably those two bands, bigger, more so than anything, Coldplay and Blink. And it was I think we share the same agent at CAA or someone like that. And and it was one of those things where it was we should always get the guys together. You know what I mean? But it's I think we were nervous because we're like, how do we work? You know what I mean? With Chris Martin, we didn't have an idea, but you're kind of like, okay, if we get him to sing,
yeah,
it's a big, you know what I mean? You have a clear vision for this. And we're
styles are similar. You can see the music working, but with alternative rock, punk rock.
Yeah, it's
rock.
Just a little bit more challenging, I guess. Yeah. And they'd sent us a couple of songs, demos that were really solid, but you were just like, I feel like we should just get in the room. And, you know, they're like, they, you know, they have families and they tour a lot. And, you know, they were just like, no one was in a rush on either side. We're like, it will happen when it happens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And finally it was we set the date, got together, and we just wrote this awesome song and over the course of the day. And, you know, they're really humble, chill guys, which was really awesome to see. And it's crazy because they're just as big as any band in the world and successful. And to write a Chainsmokers Blink song was really cool. And I think we arrived at a really great balance of it.
Lyrically, Blink-182 has been a huge inspiration to us because they always say things super direct, and the way that it happened, and they put you in the place, they tell you about what the room looked like they were in, what the car, what she was wearing.
Yeah, they paint the picture for sure.
Totally. And I feel like that's been a big part of where we've come from with our songwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when can we expect that song to come out, or do you guys know?
Oof, that's a complicated question.
Jesus, Katie Couric.
They're down.
Listen, I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to try to get them to cry later. Okay. It's going to happen. It's the hard hitting journalism.
But it's good because at the end of the day, all you want is someone to be excited. So when we left the Chris Martin session, he was pumped and he was ready to get back in and finish the song.
Yeah.
Where a lot of times that's not the case. It's you get a song and sometimes you'll both be like, that was sick. But then you never even follow up. It's unwritten, I didn't enjoy that as much as you think. And we're just the same way. And you're just so you just kind of, it's a bad date.
Yeah.
You don't need to confirm that it was a bad date. You just stop talking to each other.
It's all right. So we agree to go our separate ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the pre-record hang necessary? Before you even get going on a track, with Chris, did you guys just said you met that day and then started jamming, right? Was there any attempt to be yo, let's go do some putt-putt or fucking go to hit a Denny's late night?
I still feel like people don't have the luxury of that time anymore. You do get, we like to get together and just talk. It's not get together and immediately jump in. We're down to catch up, talk about shit. But problem is you run the risk of meeting someone that you're really like-minded with,
Ryan Tedder. Oh yeah. My God. And we've done multiple sessions with him and have not written one lyric because we just talk for 10 hours.
Yeah,
and
you're just
well. Yeah, I would have done that with Chris Martin. I would have been like, dude, I cry in the shower listening to Yellow all the time in high school. Right? Oh, Chris, where'd you go, man?
He'd be like, that's nice. That's lovely.
Who was the person that peaced out on you?
Oh, I was just about to bring that story back up. Okay. Aloe Black. It's fine.
We were doing a session with him, and he's a great songwriter and has an amazing voice. And I think the vibes were just off.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "I gotta go." And we're like, "All right, what's going on?" He's like, "So, my wife just called and said that there are bees coming out of the fireplace, and I don't know if my kids are allergic or not." And I'm like,
wow.
"Are your kids allergic?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know, but they could be." And I was like, great. So she can't handle the situation. And he's like, "No, I gotta go. I gotta go home and help her out. There are bees coming out of the fire."
I was outside on a call, and I remember just seeing him run out and then get in his car. And I was like, what the hell?
That's one of those creative excuses where you're like, I can't say that there's probably not bees coming out of
yeah, yeah. Like, I can't say that your kids aren't allergic.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like yeah. You kind of got me in a classic.
It was definitely, and we've seen him. We've seen him since then, and like a dinner and stuff. I mean, he's a cool dude, but like,
and for all we know, it could be a true story.
Yeah. Well, so we don't know still.
Yeah,
that's no, like
we should ask him. Maybe he'll see this.
Yeah, that's like the clue of excuses.
He probably wouldn't even remember.
Yeah, with the bees coming out of the fireplace. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and although it would be amazing if he did like act like he didn't remember, like, oh, bees in the fireplace. Yeah, I think that. When was that again? When did I mention that? No, dude, that's never happened unless it was in the movie The Ring. So
that's just. Your,
is your life based
excuse?
On that movie?
Yeah, yeah. That, you just but, pull up every
well, that,
time.
That could be a great movie that you guys do through your production company.
Yeah,
Kick the Habit.
I like that transition.
Thank you. Yeah,
well done. You're professional.
Yeah, yeah. I get inspired by cool pants.
Damn professional.
We could have been talking about anything. It's dildo.
Yeah. So there's a great dildo movie you could make. Matt Lauer could star in it. But no, why'd you guys start a production company? Kick the Habit, and now your first movie is.
Yeah,
Paris. Paris. Off Paris, right?
Well, hopefully. I mean, yes, it's in production.
That's in the works. Yeah. That's dope.
But yeah, I mean, so Dan, who you know, you guys know, was a good friend of ours. We went to school with Drew. They've known each other for a very long time, and that's how I met Dan, obviously. And, you know, me and Drew, you know, have both individually been very interested in TV and film, just as, like, you know, something you enjoy, really.
Yeah.
I don't think it was, like, so much a reality if you'd asked us this like 4 years ago, but Dan, you know, was really passionate about this sort of thing, and we kept getting, you know, aside from Dan, like emails being like, hey, would you guys like to be involved in this movie from a musical perspective and stuff, and you know, we didn't really feel like we were ready, but then as time went on, Dan kind of was like, listen, you know, we have the perfect guy. We have a guy that's passionate about it, we trust, who's really dedicated to this. We don't get involved in things unless we can put ourselves into it 100%.
Yeah.
And it just felt like the right time because we often look for our creativity outside of music, and TV and film is like a great place to take a break from music but still get a lot of inspiration from and be creative and then go back to music. So it felt like this great marriage between something that we were already doing and something that you know, our friend Dan could help run for us.
Dope.
And you know, obviously it's still pretty new and consider to, you know, all the studios that are out there and production houses, but you know, we're pretty psyched about the Paris movie, and you know, we've got a lot of other things under development, and it's a really cool thing to, like, I'm like reading, you know, 200 emails about this song and this song and this, and then like you read an email about, like, you know, a potential piece of IP that we might want to buy, you know.
Yeah.
And like that's, yeah, and it's really exciting. So,
well, your videos are cinematic as fuck, so it's like a natural transition for sure.
Yeah, and that, you know, that definitely like leads, you know, led us into that direction too, like working on music videos and
yeah,
and seeing how fun that can be and how challenging. So I mean, we'll see how it goes. We're definitely really passionate about it. I think it's like probably, as you find with anything, it's like you've got to find your way, what you're honing in on. Like, what do you want your message to be? What do you want your, you know, studio production company to be known for?
Yeah.
Because you can't, I guess some people can do everything, but like, I think, you know, right now it's the process of finding the projects we're really passionate about,
yeah,
and working hard on those ones and doing a good job on those versus doing like, you know, 100 things. Because we get all sorts of crazy offers. Like,
of course.
For like movies, you're like, that would be sick. But you're like, but it's, is this
brand,
really
right?
What we should be doing right now?
Is your brand more dramas? Do you want to do serious black and white film noir stuff?
Ooh,
do you want to do
cool?
Do you want to do comedies?
Yeah, I think I mean, we want to do everything, but in the beginning, at its inception, we have to be careful to like do stuff that's very like tied to us and kind of where we are right now, which is music.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very like dry sense of humor, and we're very sarcastic, and that kind of tone about like millennial narcissism that we write about in our songs a lot is something that I think will make its way into the narrative of some of the film projects that we work on.
Well, I want to come back to that dildo movie because I have a small pitch, a synopsis. It's actually a dildo heist movie. It's called Jack Hammer, and it's Harrison Ford plays a guy named Jack Hammer, and he's
really on the nose.
His wife leaves him, and but she leaves a dildo that she cheated on him with, and and he tries to rob the bank that she works at.
That's
with
the dildo.
Yeah. And I'm spitballing here, but we can come up with this.
I actually saw Harrison Ford a couple weeks ago.
Shut up.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do. Yeah.
Did he have a dildo with him?
Yeah. But he was like one of those. I mean, it's so funny because, like, you, I don't know, like, I don't often recognize people, probably because I can't see that well, but but he walked past me in the restaurant and I was like, oh shit, that's Harrison Ford. And I was like, that's cool. You know what I mean?
That's a good one to see.
That's a great one.
But then I was like, in my head, I was like, I should say hi. He was walking into the bathroom and I was like, I should follow him in there.
And well,
we've done that.
We actually, I'd say that's weird, but we actually did that to Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
To where we followed him into a bathroom.
How'd it go?
We talked and we're
friends now.
You wait for him to finish.
We're such good friends. He never returns my text. Yeah. But that's only because he's super busy.
He's super busy. But he did promise to use me as a dildo one time. It was weird. Really weird.
He seemed like a cool dude.
Yeah, he was dope, dude. Well, he him and I are both from Seattle, and so we like riffed on that for a minute. And then Brad, what did you say to him in the bathroom?
Oh, because I went to the bathroom and he was at one of the regular size urinals, and then there was another dude there who was taking the dwarf urinal.
Yeah.
Never take the fucking dwarf urinal.
That's
my passion project. Some people are like, save the whales. Some people are like, global warming. I'm like, don't take the fucking dwarf urinal. That's mine.
Yeah.
So I stood behind the guy and said, just your luck. You're pissing in the midget urinal, and then the midget shows up. The guy looks back. He's kind of in horror, trying to frantically zip up. Chris just busts out laughing, and he's like, all right, I can be friends with this tiny man.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, but I don't know, like, it's like, wow, you see Harrison Ford. It's like, what do you say to him?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, he's like old school famous. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. So it's like, I don't know if he plays by the rules that like, there's no such thing as privacy anymore. You can be interrupted and bothered at any time. You know what I mean? I was like, do you go up to, you know what I mean?
I think it's all intention, right? Like, you guys are chill dudes. Like,
The
bathroom meet and greet is usually like a weird spot. Like,
100%.
I'm not even like on board with urinal small talk because I'm like, dude, we can talk about this when our dicks aren't hanging out of our pants. Yeah. You know?
But like in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be right.
Are there certain people or like, you obviously probably like take, you said you're getting like scripts and offers for things already. Like, are there certain people that you're like, oh, I hope we get to sit down with them, or we're reaching out to try to.
There's so many people. Yeah. I mean, we've sat down with some really awesome people already. I feel like the people that are really exciting are like, it's just this like newer generation of writers and producers that like we're meeting through Dan and stuff that are like, I don't know. We've always found talent that when it comes to singers and stuff that are like hungry and new and like on the verge and you know, there's just like a desire from them to like do whatever it takes and put it all on the line. And working with like artists like that and writers just gets us really excited, I guess. Mm-hmm. That said, like, you know, we've been really lucky to sit down with people like Brian Grazer and like, and like pick their brain. And I mean, and they're so.
Does he give you good advice?
Yeah. I mean, they're so badass. It's like, he's insane.
A fucking gangster.
You just walk down their hall. You're like, my whole childhood is like.
You made it.
Yeah.
He's like, the Grinch actually stayed with me for 6 months while we were filming. Like, that wasn't a guy. He's like, you don't know the movies.
And anyway, they really drop like that one gem of knowledge. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they say a lot of great things, but like the one thing about, you know, that to direct you in your path. Cause like, you know, they're like, how do you pick what you do when you can do everything?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and that's kind of like the things you learn from them.
Is it a different muscle that you guys find, like music versus, I mean, production company producing, starting to try to field projects? Like, is it, or you feel like the same grind that's in you for music is there for movie making and stuff?
There's a lot of things that are very the same in terms of like creating something that's like, you know, especially when we like put together shows, it's like kind of finishing the song. Because we write songs, but we're also producers. So that means that we make the music, and like the final record is something that. Is something that we create.
It's always been that way,
It's always been that
way.
For you
guys,
But a lot of times, a lot of other artists, they'll write songs and then they'll send it to a producer and they'll kind of finish the track. And I feel like finishing like a track for us is like kind of packaging a movie. You're like, okay, this is a great concept, but like, how do we make it like perfect and palatable and like selling it to people that like, selling it to someone that will get it made? How do we get it out there, you know? And so that's one of the things that I find that's pretty congruent with writing music. And and I'm sure there'll be a ton more. I mean, we haven't even, we've sold our first project, but it's now in development. So we haven't actually, it's not done yet, which, you know, there's way more hurdles working on a film. I'm sure you guys
and also,
know about
it. It's like, you know, we listen to a song, it takes us 4 minutes to listen through a song, and then we make our notes, you know what I mean? And then listen to it again and again and again. And again. But like with a movie, it's like, okay, now read this 120 page script again.
For sure.
We change a couple things in it. And you're like, shit, this is a lot of work.
The back
you know
and
what
forth
I mean?
Is definitely
and,
a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of work. And it's not like unexpected work. It's just like a totally different type of art.
Yeah.
And it's really fulfilling doing it in a, you know, in a different way because, you know, you're imagining it like very visually and like thinking about in terms of like how you act in this situation or what you'd expect from it, and then writing your hopefully, you know, thoughtful notes that help the writer get to the next phase. But, you know, it's like different. I mean, we're working on scoring this film right now.
Oh, nice. And I was going to say that feels like the next move.
Yeah. And we just sat down and like went through like every minute of the film where we thought there should be music and what would be a good song and gave options and then where we should put our music. And it's like, cool. So what's next? You're like, well, we got to watch it again. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Like, so I've probably seen this movie like 40 times.
Have you guys ever...
Hope it's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
Have you guys ever scored podcasts or theme songs for podcasts?
Yeah.
I watched that podcast.
That would be funny.
Yeah. I've watched that listen to the podcast Serial. You know that Serial one? And she has the funniest music in it. It's like, boop, 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 boop. It's like, next week. Like, we'll find out if I'm
it's like, you're so happy, but people are getting murdered here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get the trend.
Joy, I heard you say in an interview about and just asking about like the creating of a song, but you were telling the guy that like you'd spent an hour like just fucking with a bunch like making a bunch of sounds just like to try to find like as you were building the track, and I was like, dude, I can't even wrap my head around how you guys create any given like what is it is it different from track to track? Or
well, I think like I mean, that idea I got from Timbaland.
Yeah.
Timbaland used to do that over every track. And Timbaland's like, I was just telling Craig, this is funny you brought it up. But like Timbaland, like I feel like we never get compared like as we should. And he's the OG, but like he's actually a huge musical influence on like our beats. And that's like something like I'll hear something like from Timbaland or any other artist and be like, I love the vibe of that. Like, let me try to make my version of it. And it sounds really nothing like Timbaland. I hope.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why no one's drawn the comparison. But,
well, you got to get Timbaland to come and do the clicks.
Yeah, but like, you know, you take little tricks from here and you're like, that was cool. How do I try and do that?
Yeah.
And you're never going to do it exactly like that person did it.
Right.
But then somewhere in there, you find your own sound.
Love that. You guys,
what's the weirdest noise you've made where you're like, oh, God, that can't be in the song?
We put a poo hitting a toilet.
And see, that's why I said, hold up, Brad.
Yeah, and now I'm thankful that I did.
Wait a minute. What song is that in?
It's in
The One.
It's in The One.
But it's like reversed and a lot of reverbs put on it.
It's actually a poo coming out of a toilet back into someone's butt.
Well, that's fucking mind blowing. And there's the opening scene for Jack Hammer.
Yeah.
I don't think it made the fun. Did it make the fun? No. I think we
100% left it in there.
We left it in there.
Oh, my God.
So here's the thing.
Do you get to hear the person go, who?
Whose job was it to poo? Yeah. Whose job was it to hold the microphone?
But it's funny because we cut it. I remember like being like, we can't like use that as a funny bit of information to reveal or something like during interviews about the album.
Hell yeah!
But you're like, we can't let them know this because they'll just use this against us.
No
and
way!
Like, not only did they use shit in their music, like their music is literally
that's
shit.
Art.
You said it already. Yeah. So it's like the Eminem scene from
8 Mile.
Yeah, 8 Mile. He took the bullets out of the gun.
Yeah.
So you're good.
Yeah.
That's straight up magic. I feel like it's
whose
some
idea
point,
was that?
At some point in Vegas, Copperfield's gonna come over and be like, "Hey, how'd you guys do that shit in the butt trick?"
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for a new closer.
Yeah.
Wait, how did... Yeah.
Yeah. Who was that one person like at 4 o'clock in the morning drunk as hell?
No, it was someone... One of us had recorded our shits already.
How you say one of us. It's like only one of us has flannel swivel on their jeans. Yeah, we know who it was.
I honestly think Swivel was like, yo, I just want to let you guys know I have these sounds that I created. That Remember that we did this interview one time in Sweden, and this kid pulled up with a laptop, and so there's like a MIDI controller, is like a keyboard that can play like any sound.
Stay on the mic.
Sorry. He had basically instead of a piano, he had recorded his farts and put them in this sampler, and he made me like play and sing closer. Over fart
Swedish
noises.
Farts?
Over Swedish farts,
Dude, sometimes life is so fucking beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the next remix you have to
release. And I remember like the label who sets up these things was just like,
of course.
We were like, this is the press we like to do.
This is different.
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, and good on you guys for being like, when the guy comes in and goes, listen, I recorded the splashes of my poo going in the toilet. You guys are like, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm listening. Interesting.
You want to hear more. And as a producer, that kind of has to be a weird thing where, hey, we always are walking around and we'll find jokes in anything. Like, you could hear a poo going into a water go, wait. Somebody get that.
Say that.
That's important.
It hasn't happened yet where I've been like...
So you're not like walking around, a guy's on a skateboard, he falls and his skull like bounced off the pavement. You're like, wait, can you do that again? But like that was a great sound.
Like, yeah, it's like some dog blood boys noise move right there. Seriously.
Speaking of your like writing process, like is there, you know, some artists like to go away to like cabins and like, you know, just get away. Like, is there a like track for track or album for album? Is there like, do you guys set up and go, all right, let's like do it all here, or let's go to one spot, or let's go back to New York and like where we and find that old basement we did it in? Is there?
Yeah, I feel like we've like always toyed around with that idea, but like it's not really how we release music.
Yeah,
like we're not making like the full album
right
anymore. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool. Like, I think it's like, oh, let's go, you know, to New York, and then maybe that will be like a cool to be there for, you know, a week to work on whatever the next song is.
Yeah,
give inspiration. But it's definitely not like the Beatles where it's like, let's go to like Cyprus or something
right, for
like
a month or so.
Yeah. A month and create the next album. But I know a lot of ours do that. I think we just like,
have all our stuff here.
Yeah, all of our stuff's here, and I think we're like, we just don't have time, and we also like get bored of places, you know what I mean? So it's like we like to like move around a lot, you know, not just be like, let's just go to this one place for, you know, 6 weeks.
Will you ever go out of your way to write a song or start one just for the story, like being like on a private plane to some country or like in a bathroom, like some place where you're like, you start having a nugget of an idea and you're like, just to be like, hey man, this song was written actually at a, you know, at a Quiznos.
Well, actually, Paris was, I remember I was like, we played a show in, actually Paris was written in Stockholm. And we were playing, played a show in Stockholm, and we went to the studio after the show.
Yeah.
And we were partying with a bunch of really amazing songwriters, and there's so many in Sweden. And I remember I was in the bathroom, and I was trying to think of lyrics, and I was like, we were staying in Paris, like, get away from your parents. And I was like, that's a weird line. And then went downstairs and wrote the whole first verse in Hukka of Paris.
All you need to do to have hit record is take a dump in Stockholm.
Right.
And you'll come up with a fantastic lyric.
Boom.
There's your tips.
How often does that happen where you will get something that quick and go, oh, that's dope. That should definitely be. Or do you question it? Or
I got to give.
You trust yourself after a while, right?
Yeah. And you learn to trust like your friends and your team and stuff. And we really trust Rob Stringer, who's the head of Sony Music now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll say a lot of like the music people that we've met have been kind of phony, but there's some people that really fucking get it. And he's one of them.
Dope.
And I remember we came in, we played Rob, and this is after Closer. So we had to like come with something, you know, good.
Yeah. That blew. I mean, was that like overwhelming how big that tune was, or was it just all awesome?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, especially like, and it gets crazy and crazier that when you look back at it and you're like, oh my god, like that thing, and you're like putting out other music that doesn't perform like that, and you're like, holy crap, that was was a moment.
Yeah, like chasing that song,
like hundreds of millions of like views. I mean, it's insane, you know,
it's wild. Yeah. And I'm lucky to have that moment, but I don't think you can try to recreate it.
No, it just, you know, it kind of happens.
It just happens.
It has to happen, or it doesn't. But right. Yeah, you can't sit down and be like, all right, today we're writing Closer part two.
Because
like,
we didn't intend for that to become
everyone else tries to get out when they come in and write with us Closer today.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Do you get reached out to by now? Or when that song hit, were there people that like that you looked up to that were like, man, fucking that song was like unbelievable, and you're like, oh shit, these guys listen to our music?
I mean, that's like probably how we got in the studio with Coldplay.
Yeah.
Bono, we got in touch with.
What?
Yeah.
Through Sting, what? Email?
Sting. No, we've hung out with Bono a couple times.
What?
Yeah.
Why didn't we open with that?
Yeah.
Right?
He's the man. I mean, he actually is a fucking, like, one of those dudes that like immediately puts you at like rest. And he's just like, I feel like I'm hanging out with my homie right now.
Yeah.
So many good stories, like, and he's so charismatic. And
he's lived a life. I mean, like, everything.
The guy's done everything. I was briefly on a radio show in San Francisco, and I got to interview Bono, which was madness, because I'm just sitting there going, what the fuck can I ask this guy that he hasn't been asked before? He's done a trillion interviews. And as soon as he got on the phone with us, he's talking like we've been hanging out for years. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's...
He has that superpower.
Yeah, that's why you're the front man of the biggest band in the world. Yeah. It's like, you just are able to do that.
Did he give you any advice, or do you ask for it when you get a chance to talk to him?
Tons of advice, but he's actually like, we called him, and we're like, with the preface, we're like, hey, can we call you and have a conversation? And then we want to pick pieces of the conversation to like use potentially as an intro to one of the songs on the album. And he was like, sure, you know, sounds good. And in return, we like, I forgot, we gave him like a piece of some music we did or something.
Oh yeah, we played on one of the records.
But he was like, sure, no problem. And like, we already knew that like, you don't have a conversation with him and something not important be said.
Yeah, yeah. So
we weren't like really too concerned about like the topic. We're just like, let's just get on the phone, give us 15 minutes and that's all we need. And there was like 40 pieces of thing and we chopped it up, put it on the album. And it was funny because we're like, this is so sick. Like, someone's definitely going to notice this. Nobody noticed it. It was like, unbelievable. Like, no one was like, who is this Irish guy speaking before this song? And I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, even like really like popular, you know, music outlet, like New York Times Music Section, Pitchfork, you know what I mean? And like, maybe they shouldn't care. I don't know. But it was like, you know, like it shocked me because I was like, wow, it was so cool what he said. And it was like led into this great song.
That's so weird that like, and then you listen to a guy like Bono just talk casually, and then you listen to a guy like Bruce Springsteen just talk in an interview. You're like, oh, you talk in lyrics.
Yeah, totally.
Like you're like, how did you write that song? You're like, oh, you probably just talked for a while.
Yeah.
And it just came out like that because you're talking in metaphor.
On the streets of Philadelphia. There's a song.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Madness.
Is there a moment where you guys, like with comics, you know, you just have to get reps to get that experience to get to a point to where you like trust that when you think of something, you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to take that to the stage tonight because I think there's something there and enough to build on. Like, when does that moment happen for you?
I mean, that's the only thing that you can use to like guide you is like, remember the moments when like you felt a certain type of way about a sound or a lyric or whatever, and then
try to access that again.
Yeah, and like that feel, that's a recurring feeling that you have to be like, ooh, yeah, I really fuck with this. Like, we need to like push further or bring, like, this needs to be a thing.
Because I can imagine you can go in the studio, right, when you're starting over and you're like, fuck, like, yeah, what do we do? Like, how to, right? Just building from scratch.
Totally. And you never know where it's going to come from. Like, inspiration, cultivating your creativity, I always say, is like the hardest thing to possibly do.
What, say that again?
Cultivating your creativity is like the hardest thing to do as an artist. Like, and remembering, like, I look at these guys that have been in bands for like 30 years and I'm like, how do you guys still like know like what's dope? And it has to be that one thing, you know, because the sound of music and their sound and what's popular has changed so many times. I'm like, how do you like know when you got something still, you know?
Yeah, there was a time Chumbawamba was on top of the world.
What a confusing time
that
was.
What a confusing time, but a great time. The economy was better.
Talking about Chumbawamba yesterday.
You were what?
We were just talking about Chumbawamba.
They said talking with them.
Right? You're like, well, fly them out of here. Let's make it happen.
But yeah, I mean, that's so true. I mean, those trends in music and like, you know, it's a scary thing. And I think that's like also partially why we are lucky to get in the studio with some of the people we do, because, you know, they're like interested in getting a taste of like a different, you know, generation of music listeners that we're more in tune with than they feel like they are.
Yeah.
But I feel like so much of this is just mental. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, right now hip hop is the ruler of the music, you know, airwaves, and it's amazing. And like, I think like probably some artists are discouraged by that aren't hip hop artists, but it's like, yeah, you just, it doesn't mean people aren't listening to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think, you just gotta persevere. And like, one thing we're always very mindful of is we don't chase trends.
You don't.
We're very adamant about that.
You try to not like listen too much to what's.
I mean, we'll listen to everything and be influenced by everything.
Yeah.
But it's like, we won't be like, whoa, like this, you know, Post Malone song is we should make it a song that sounds exactly like
so
this.
So we're not going to see a Chainsmokers mumble rap.
Not yet. And we're not getting face tats either. So
yeah.
I think you could. It's funny. That can kind of parlay into this question, which I love to ask people. Did you have a first sort of crazy rock star purchase where you're like, holy crap, I got a check for X amount of dollars. Like, I'm going to go get Charlie Conway's hockey stick from D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Is that still available?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. Josh Jackson, we know you're a fan. Is he? I don't know. But you can give me that stick. No, but like, did you have like a first major rock star purchase?
We're so boring about
this. I mean, I got like a dog, you know, like that's like,
well, there
that's,
you,
like, that's
there.
Like actively like having a kid.
You bought a friend.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That's a rock star.
What kind of dog?
Golden Retriever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nope.
They're great.
Classic.
Classic dog.
Wasn't that the dog in Homeward Bound? Was a Golden Retriever,
yeah.
Right?
Homeward Bound.
Yeah. My nice one.
Dude, tequila and Homeward Bound.
That's what I specialize in.
Friendship. That's how it works.
I think you guys, this is like that moment in Step Brothers where you guys are just going to look at each other and be like, we just become best friends. Name your favorite golden retriever. No, I'll see Shiloh. Like, Holy shit.
Shut up. Get the fuck out of here.
I'll see like other, you know, musicians or whatever, celebrities get like a golden, and like I'll hit them up and be like, got golden now. I'd be like, we should hang out. You know what I mean? Like literally for no other reason than, you know, that. Like I would never.
Who just got a golden?
I mean, Calvin Harris got a golden.
Wow.
We hung out before that, but I was like, now we should like hang out.
Yeah, the friendship is valid.
Now we can finally really be friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can just sit there and talk. You know, like we don't have to talk about anything other than them playing and be like, look at them. You know,
it's an easy hang. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I mean,
when you guys did the Victoria's Secret fashion show, was that your pickup line? Like you just walk up to them all and go, hey, I got a golden retriever.
Yeah.
just like have like, the photos,
you know,
of
like,
the dog.
Like the leash and like runs into the room and they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
like,
I'm sorry. Oh, my golden retriever. You're so cute though.
I feel like it's funny because like that was such an amazing experience to be a part of, but like that's when you're like, yo, I'm on my best behavior. Not like in like you're ever on bad behavior, but you're like, this is where like a normal guy would just lose his mind and like, you know, like break down. You're like, I have to be like the most consummate, you know, gentleman here. Like you have a jacket, put it over a puddle.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, and for no, you know, it's just, it was such a cool experience. And like, mostly the reason I say that is because like these girls are working so hard all year long for this one moment here, and you just don't want to blow it for them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, you don't want to swing into them with your guitar. You don't want to stand in front of them. You don't want to like.
And I feel like that's been this kind of collection of our moments, like performing with our song for the first time ever with Coldplay at the Brits Awards, which is like the Grammys in
England. It's huge.
And it was just like Coldplay's never fucked up live. You know what I mean? So like, let this be the moment we fuck up Coldplay's only live performance. And so like that's
was
kind
that
of
unbelievable?
Like,
by how many people was that?
I mean, you know, it's like an TV thing. But you're just like, you know how the internet is. Like before, you could get away with something, and people would just have to like talk about it. Like remember, like and they're like, no, I never saw that.
I didn't see it.
You know? No, now it's like it's gonna happen. I mean, like, I remember one MTV VMAs after a Nirvana performance. Chris Novoselic threw his bass up in the air and was like, I'm going to throw it up in the air and I'm going to catch it.
Yeah.
He did not catch it.
Yeah.
It landed on his head. And you see him like stumbling around the stage, definitely concussed.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, wow. So you're just trying to make sure you don't have that moment where.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it's like, you know, those, like we played, you know, we've had a couple of big things. And I mean, some things definitely didn't go that smooth. But, you know,
it's
everything.
It's the live
is,
aspect, though, man. I mean, it's like nobody's.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But it's like one thing if it's just our thing and you're just like, listen, like, this is our game to lose. Like, if we lose, it's like.
On us.
Yeah. But when it's like, I'm going to ruin Coldplay.
Which would have been the great name for a follow up album after the performance.
I ruined Coldplay.
Everyone would listen to that.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like. Just like the Victoria's Secret show just goes that you know, like the biggest blooper moment or something. You're just like, I don't want that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be known for that. You know,
you guys do seem pretty, and I as we wrap up here, thanks again for doing this.
Yeah, of course,
this is fucking awesome.
This is great.
You guys had a good time. But like, Norm took me to the iHeart Radio Awards when you guys won. I think this was maybe a year ago or two years ago.
I love how you're looking at me like I wasn't there. I don't know.
But you guys have won a ton of awards, and like what you see is what you get with you guys, which is pretty dope. Like when you see interviews online, and like I remember even seeing, which is crazy to be here with you now. I put it on my vision board that I would be here, but I didn't. That's creepy. But seeing you guys on stage when you're accepting the award, and you just seem so chill. And then like I watched some stuff, and you've seen performances, and hearing you guys talk today, like it's really. I think it contributes to like your success and definitely like your work ethic and like having like a good head on your shoulders. Like
I think it does and it doesn't. Like I mean, I appreciate you saying that because that's
these
like
have been
I'm gonna stop you right there.
Compliments that backfire. With
No. Because like the compliment itself is exactly what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and,
I'm not saying you're not a piece of shit.
I'm just saying like I feel like people don't want to see that though. They want like 6ix9ine. They want like when you ask the question of like what was the most expensive thing you like bought when you got money. It's like an elephant. You know what I mean? And it's dead now. You know. Because I didn't know how to take care of it.
Because we didn't feed it.
Yeah, and PETA groups are all over my ass.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but like, we just are like two chill regular dudes, and like you know, and I feel like
there's a
like celebrities are like you're not celebrity enough. You know what I mean? And regular people are just
but
like
enough of that.
We don't want you to be regular. You know, like be more like outlandish, and we're just like, you know. So it's like. I think when we get together, people like everyone always just enjoy. That's like the thing that we love.
Do you feel like
hear.
That is your critique that you're like?
But that's
too
also
regular?
Like, I think that's like the weird, the awkward. Don't want to say downfall, but like
our downfall.
downfall is that we're just like,
all right, so we'll know the chains are taking a turn when you buy an elephant.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, oh crap,
what yeah, deep in. Dude, because we didn't have one.
Oh, okay,
good reason.
True.
Yeah.
Well, cool, guys. But yeah, anyways, so yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Wait, so, and you guys are obviously on social media. That's no
yeah, surprise. We're on social media.
Do you dig it? Do you like to post and whatever? Like, it's a challenge for us as comics to always be like, fucking, you know, just yeah. You gotta do it.
It but feels like really vain, huh?
It does. You know? It's like I have to remind yeah, myself. Like,
look how awesome! Look at this awesome shit I did. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm eating breakfast. Do I really need to put a photo of this
yeah.
on?
But yeah,
I,
you do.
Look at these pants I'm wearing.
Yeah. I mean, well, see, that's I'm going post. To Instagram those pants. Yeah. I want my own pair of those pants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're gonna make this happen. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if Baby Gap sells the jean flannel combo.
They might have sell to.
One of each, and you can. Make
there you
home.
Go.
But there is like value, like at your shows and stuff. When people are posting, like when Chris posted that video. At your show, I was like, oh, I can't wait to fucking go to that because that looks insane. So like that is...
Those are definitely part of it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, you know, there's benefits and there's drawbacks, of course. Like, I think it's...
You have millions of followers too, so is there extra pressure where you're like, fuck, we should do it or...
I feel like we're just like, I mean, like, you know, it's like the same thing. I feel like if you're like a 17-year-old right now, like Instagram, it means an entirely different thing to you that like you grew up just like used to being like, I video everything I do. Yeah. Some people... Like maybe a lot of people watch it, maybe a lot of people don't. For us, it was like this introduction of like a way to reach fans and like let people into your world a little bit more. But also, we're still like, I don't want to let you in totally. You know what I mean?
For sure, you got to keep that distance. I feel.
And that's like I think a benefit and a positive and a negative depending on like. But like I think it's definitely making a lot of people lose their fucking minds.
Yeah, totally.
You're gonna keep your crazy. Elephant to yourself, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You're not gonna have like here's me and Peanut.
Yeah. Dude, so stereotypical.
Exactly, and that's what everyone will make fun of him for. Yeah, like, yeah, really, his name and a peanut. Yeah, really
predictable elephant name.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are the shit.
Thank you.
The win, I mean, obviously, and like anything, I mean, like obviously we'll do a bunch of stuff in the intro, but
yeah,
like,
yeah, no
worries.
Something
you want people to like you know, go check out right now?
Yeah, the memes of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Instagram. Yeah.
There you go.
Write positive things in the comments.
Yeah. Post your favorites.
And we will come to one of these shows at the Wynn.
Yeah, please do.
That'd be awesome. And I want to suggest, and Brad has said yes to it before when I've suggested for other things, getting either a tiny parachute to or a cannon to shoot him into the crowd off of the stage.
Listen, yeah, Steve Wynn goes out there on a raft and he throws cakes at people.
Steve Wynn.
Steve Wynn. Aoki. That guy. You know what?
You're banned from property now.
All I'm saying is that you can do it at the Wynn. But he's got his own thing. You guys can have your dwarf cannon.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't sound like unethical.
I've got a lot of friends. We can get that like big thing that the Clippers use. It's like a machine gun for t-shirts. And we just load in like eight dwarves.
Yeah.
Just eight of us.
It
just
seems like a lot.
That, I feel like that's the thing where they're like, that's just not right. And then you're like, defense is like, look, he loves it. You know what I mean? And
you're like, this is how he was born.
He loves it. But like, you know, they say that about like animals and stuff. Like, but they can't like that cruelly or like something. You're like, what are you talking about? He loves swimming, in the water.
Yeah.
But like with a human, you'd be like, look, tell him. I love it.
I love it. They're not just paying me.
Yeah.
I love it. I love Steve Aoki and I love Steve Wynn too.
Yeah. You guys are the best. Thank
Cheers.
You so much.
Thank you.
Yes, guys.
Thank you.
Guys.
Thank you.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know. But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also,
Get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.